We've been going verse by verse through Daniel. The practical aspect of this chapter would help anybody in leadership, a parent, or whatnot, to recognize like repentance in the heart of someone that's been punished. Okay, that's kind of what it shows. Sometimes you can't figure it out. But Daniel 4 shows the attitude of an individual who accepted the punishment that God put on him. And he put it on him pretty hard. Daniel chapter 4. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. I do ask and pray that you'd help us that when times like this occur, that we can see true repentance, that people would sincerely recognize their position with God, and help us to understand this passage practically and also doctrinally. And I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to your words, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel 4, if you'd hold your finger here, go to Leviticus 26:41. Amazingly, there's a verse kind of tucked in here about all the curses that Israel will experience if they don't obey God. And Leviticus 26, verse 41 makes this statement. Well, let's see. Verse 40 is a sentence. 40 and 41, 42, three verses cover the sentence. But verse 40 says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass which they trespass against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. Okay, then the next verse. Okay, that's just about the covenant. Okay, the idea there is that you ever see, okay, a child maybe after you discipline them and they're still mad? They're still mad. They haven't truly repented. They haven't learned their lesson. Or a believer that God's had to discipline and they're still mad at God. Or a student in school. If a teacher, you know, says do such and such and they're mad and they're mad still and what they're doing, they still haven't learned their lesson. They haven't humbled themselves. When the child or the individual says, yeah, I deserve that. Yeah, I deserve that. I had that one coming. Okay, that's when they've truly accepted the punishment of their sin. That's when they've truly gotten right. Okay, now only they know perfectly in their heart, but there's been many guys that I visited while they were in jail, and very few of them, I mean, I probably on one hand have gone there for about 10, 15 years, that I could actually hear a guy say, you know, I actually deserve this. And it was actually good for me that this happened. Not too many will say that. Okay, and so that's kind of a very practical thing to recognize as a parent. Okay, if the child after a spanking is still upset, still mad, still throwing a fit, that's time for another spanking for the second offense because they hadn't learned their lesson. Okay, and so Daniel 4, the individual that's given his testimony is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, remember from Daniel 2, became a king of kings. So he's a big shot. And in Daniel chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, he gives a preview about his experience after the fact. Okay, so he's already gone through the 7 years of punishment. And this is his comment about the God who punished him. Okay, and this is what's going to show true repentance or to humble oneself. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Okay, so they have an inner peace. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Okay, these are not positive signs and wonders. Okay, this is not like after Daniel 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a great experience, and then the king brags about them, then he passed a law because these guys had a great experience. They showed God's power. This is a guy being made a fool of who justly deserves it. He says this, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. So he learned his lesson. The lesson is repeated throughout the storyline. We'll see what the lesson is. He learned it. So verses 1, 2, and 3, after the 7 years of being thrown in a nut house or something like that, for 7 years, he's looking back on his experience and said, boy, did I deserve that. And the God that did that's amazing. He's amazing what he did. He's amazing what he's done to me. God in his mercy punished me, but God in his mercy also showed mercy after the fact and restored my mind to me, which he didn't have to. So he has quite an attitude. An attitude that's a good attitude, an attitude that is thankful to the one who punished him. Okay, so now he's going to tell the story. Okay, and evidently Daniel's the writer. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream. So he took an afternoon nap, which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my head and the visions of my head troubled me. So remember that a dream throughout the Bible is God making his words known to an individual before there's written revelation. So there's no written revelation of this until, well, of course, we've got the written revelation. He said, therefore made I a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Okay, so remember he did that in Daniel 2, and of course they didn't help him. So in his mind he said, well, I know the dream, so now they can help me. But he failed to realize that God hides these things from the wise and prudent, reveals them unto babies. Okay, I've showed simple verses out of the Bible to highly educated people, and they say, I just don't see it. I said, I can see that you don't see it. You can't understand sixth grade English. That's because they're blind to it. They're just absolutely blind to it, and a lot of times it's a matter of their heart. Okay, then verse 7. So he brings in the big shots, his counselors. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and soothsayers. So that's a pretty bad crowd from the Christian perspective. Okay, a soothsayer, okay, is not a truthsayer. Okay, they're involved in witchcraft, and they're involved in fortune telling. And witchcraft uses a lot of symbolism to hide their craft. Okay, witchcraft is all over the place. We see it everywhere. We see the hidden symbols right in plain sight. Okay, and this is a common thing amongst politicians, magicians, astrologers. They're studying the stars. They'll try to talk to somebody in the past who's possibly dead. Okay, because they're trying to get some advanced revelation, because they're smart, you know. If you doubt it, they'll tell you. And so I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Okay, so why is that? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. They're not going to get it. So he was of the belief, Nebuchadnezzar at this time, is okay, the last time I didn't know what the dream, this time I know the dream, so they'll be able to interpret it. And of course they can't. But at the last, Daniel came in before me. Okay, so there's no time lapse here, how many years went by. So he'd gone back to Daniel to, oh yeah, I remember, there's a young kid that really helped me out. So Daniel came in, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Now, that was his viewpoint. Okay, they did not know the Holy Ghost as a member of the Godhead. That was not revealed under the Old Testament covenant. That was introduced to the apostles by Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16. That was a new idea. Okay, in the Old Testament, all the Jews knew was that the Lord our God is one. Jewish people feel that we are polytheists because we believe in the Godhead. Okay, so they did not accept the idea that Jesus, when he said, I and my Father are one, making himself equal with God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That threw him for a loop, okay, and that's why they crucified him for blasphemy. Well, right before the crucifixion, the Lord introduced the third member of the Godhead. In the New Testament, you'll find the phrase Holy Ghost 90 times. Okay, you'll find Holy Spirit, uppercase H, uppercase S, okay, once. You'll find a lowercase H or a lowercase S, Holy Spirit, 7 times. Okay, so Holy Ghost is used 90 sometimes. Okay, and so that starts in Matthew 1, the first time the two-word title, I guess you could call it, Holy Ghost. So people teach that under the Old Testament covenant, which is true, that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost of God had a come-and-go ministry. He did not permanently indwell the believer like we have that great blessing in the New Testament. Now, he did not only come on them, he came in them. Some say he just came on them. It says multiple times that the Spirit of God came in that individual. Okay, and so multiple times it says that. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said too. He said, the Spirit of the holy gods. Okay, inside Daniel is the spirit of the holy gods. Okay, so he'd already made a decree that you're not supposed to worship any other god but the god that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but you see how quickly a person shifts back into their old ways. So he says holy gods, okay, because Gentiles are polytheists, but then they usually have a supreme god at the top. And before him, I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians. So he is the head over these guys. Like in Daniel 6, he was the chief of the presidents. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, he said it again, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me of the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed, and I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven. Okay, we know that would be the first heaven, or what's commonly called the atmosphere, sometimes what scientists call ether. Okay, it's what the stars move in. And the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. Okay, the end of all the earth. That's a funny statement. But this tree, so it's a large tree. The leaves thereof were fair, the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. Now notice how the Bible uses the word meat. Okay, we say meat, we're referring to flesh products. In the Bible, meat is anything that you eat. The first occurrence of the word meat is Genesis 1:29, and it refers to fruit as meat. Okay, so in the Bible, meat can be a flesh product, it can be fruit, it can be vegetables. So this tree obviously is not a rabbit tree where they're picking off rabbits to eat them. Okay, so it's obviously some type of a fruit tree, but he calls it meat. Okay, the beast of the field had shadow under it. And the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. So we know that fowls, remember, fowls are pictures of spirits. Beasts of the field are pictures of dogs, and that's often how the Bible portrays political figureheads or government workers, okay? Because, not workers, but like, you know, politicians or whatnot, as Thomas Jefferson portrayed them also. So this tree, obviously, the idea of this tree is going to be referring to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar himself, because kings and kingdoms are portrayed as beasts of prey by Daniel in Daniel 7:17. He said, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off the branches. So the tree huggers aren't going to like this idea. Okay, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth. And so there's a common saying we get from this, because he couldn't understand it. He couldn't understand it, so that means he would easily say, I'm stumped by this dream. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar is going to get an answer for somebody who's not stumped. Leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart, okay, the his is the tree. Remember the one blind individual that Jesus healed, and he says, look around, and he said, I see men as trees walking. And that's why we have a family tree. So now he's personified the tree to be a man. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given on him, and let seven times pass over him. So this man is becoming a nutcase. They're going to take him to a funny farm. Okay, but as the 7 years of being in a funny farm, he is still the king. We had a nutcase for 8 years. The funny farm wouldn't take him. Okay, but that's where the king is. Now, a lot of times if you go to, you know, several years ago, I got part of what was called F Sunday School at Hammond at that time. And it was a Sunday school where you went to nursing homes. And of course, it was a way to increase their numbers. So you go to all these nursing homes, count everybody, and let them know how many you had. And go to projects and have an open-air Sunday school class or whatnot. And so I got a part of that, and my job, I went to a mental home. I fit right in. Okay, and so, there were some people that I talked to that, wow, they're out there. One 27-year-old fella, he had fried his brain on dope, and he was going to be in there the rest of his life. And one guy showed me his bicycle, and he had a little broom handle with a wire on it, and he said, that's his brake. And I'm looking at it, I said, if you're going to hold on to that for your break, you're not going to get stopped anywhere. But, I mean, these were just, and if we knew the background of some of those people, some of it a chemical imbalance, some of it a mental imbalance, but some of it is a judgment from God himself. Okay, and of course, that's never considered. That's not considered by the great psychologists and professionals. They don't consider that bitterness aspect or the pride aspect, okay? And so this is why some people end up like that, okay? And so he said, let his heart be changed from a man, let a beast's heart be given on him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones to the intent that the living may know that the Most High. So here's the lesson God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to learn. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Is that not true? The exception of that proves the rule. The exception of that idea that the ones who get to the top are the most compromised people that would sell their own mother out for a nickel. Okay, when Obama got elected years ago, before the election, about 2 weeks before the election, the news was talking about his grandmother. I don't know if Jan remembers. I said, I'll bet you his grandma dies before the election. And she did. Yep. And I don't think it was probably, I would not count it to be a natural death. Okay, and so that's these basest of men. Okay, they compromise, they have no stand, they have no backbone whatsoever. They're going to have a good memory to try to remember all the lies that they've mentioned. So, but who's ultimately in charge? It's God Almighty. So that tells us something. God will give a nation the kind of leadership it deserves. And our nation deserved Obama. We deserved him. Okay, and the Lord God is at the top, but yet then he delegates this authority to Gentiles. He delegates to the devil. The devil's in charge of the world kingdoms under God. God gives him a parameter he's got to stay within. Okay, then the devil puts at the top whoever worships him the most or the best. Generally, that's how it is, but then, of course, God has the ultimate say-so. So God overrides the devil when he chooses to do that. And like he puts a King James as a king. At 1.5 years old, King James became king. Okay, and then he was guided with good counsel, just like Josiah was. Josiah was made king at 8 years old, but he had a good counselor that taught him the ways of God. And King James had a good counselor that taught him the ways of God. Okay, but that's an exception to the rule, and that's God who overruled the devil because the devil wanted to have a Bloody Mary in there. Okay, that's the ones he likes. But God had to get a man on the throne of England with a Jewish name, James, because he wanted to use that name for a Bible. And so that's what God did. So the devil will generally, he will put in charge whoever is a good worshiper of him. Why? Because he said to Jesus, whoever bows and worships me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Okay, and these people are pretty scummy. More so than you and I can ever imagine how bad they are. Okay, the news media is not going to say this, but there are several arrests going on throughout this country of lower echelon people who are providing children for an international sting or ring or whatever going on throughout this world. Okay, the Pizzagate thing is a very small tip of the iceberg. Okay, this took place in Canada in the 1990s, and the two attorneys that brought this up in court when they brought this charges against these high-level political figureheads, the judge ruled them insane, and they dragged them people out of there and took them right into a nutting house and drugged them people. And that just all went away. You see? And that's a high level, very high level. This goes back into 1970s. If you go back in the 1970s, get on YouTube and look up the Franklin cover-up. That gets involved in the Boys Town, where they were taking boys from there for high-level political people. Okay, and why? Verse 17, they are the basest of men. Okay, that's the rule. The exception proves the rule. So that's the lesson God wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know, is that I'm the one in charge, and I'm the one that puts you in that position. Verse 18, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. So Nebuchadnezzar knew where Daniel got his wisdom. It's from God. But notice how Daniel is. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was a stonied okay, for an hour. And his thoughts troubled him. Okay, Daniel, in that hour time span, you know, the Lord probably gave him the interpretation, boom, just like that. But he knew that this interpretation was negative. And he knew that this interpretation was going to take Nebuchadnezzar down. Okay, and obviously he had been in good graces with Nebuchadnezzar, and he didn't want to see him go down because he was in good graces with him. Okay, but he was stayed quiet for an hour. Okay, then King spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, their dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. So obviously he had a bunch of political enemies. The beast and the fowls that were in the branches of this tree, many of them were his enemies. And then he gives the interpretation. Now, if you go back to Genesis chapter 40 or 39, when Joseph interprets the two dreams of the baker and the butler, the first interpretation was good in that whoever he interpreted a dream for, I forget which one's which, okay, that they had a good interpretation, they're going to be restored. Now, the second guy that got an interpretation, he thought, man, that was a good interpretation. I'll ask for mine. Now, if he would have had a negative one first, the other one probably would have said, no, I'm not going to ask. Don't even tell me. Okay, and so this is what we got to be able to do is accept from the Bible good and bad. Okay, positive or negative. Many of us have met people that will say, well, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe in a hell. I believe in a God, but I don't believe in a devil. Why? They don't want to accept the negative side. Several years I was down at the truck stop, and when I got done, one guy was going to criticize me. And he said, I want to say something. I said, go ahead. And I could feel it coming. He said, you are 50% negative. And he meant it as an insult. And I smiled and said, thank you. And then he really went, you know, this guy's a nutcase. He said, no, you didn't hear me. You were 50% negative. I said, well, yeah, I heard you. Thank you. Appreciate that. He said, you don't get it. I said, do you drive a truck? He said, yeah. I said, your battery, does it have a negative post and a positive post? He said, yeah. I said, is that not 50-50? I said, so you gave me a nice compliment. And he didn't appreciate that illustration. Why? He believed in a power of positive thinking. Where in the Bible, the power of negative thinking gets you a lot more accomplished than the power of positive thinking. That's how a mechanic discovers an engine to get it running right, is because he looks at it negatively. Okay, so he's going to have a negative interpretation, and then he's going to explain it. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelled, and upon all whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou. That's you, king. O king. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And that is by God's grace, not by his vast wisdom. 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation. Notice, he did not say, this is my interpretation. The Bible has one interpretation. This is it. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men. And thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth to whomsoever he will. That's the lesson. So it's a nutcase. They put him out in a back pasture. He's out there. He got real long hair. Okay, verse 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. And that's amazing that they kept that going. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Heavens, plural. Second heaven in particular, and third heaven by God directly. So that's pretty bad. And then he says this, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Okay, now that don't make sense to us, New Testament doctrine per se, but when you understand Old Testament doctrine, under the Old Testament, since it was a faith and work system, okay, and sin had a different level of definition as we have it today, notice he says, break off thy sins by righteousness. You start doing right, and then God is going to recognize your righteousness. Now, whatever standard he has for him, in this particular standard, he says, you need to have mercy on the poor. Why? It's because those are the ones who are abused. And like Jesus said, the poor ye will always have. You know, whenever these politicians talk about caring for the poor, they don't care for the poor. Never trust a man who has a six-figure income who says he cares for the poor. Because he doesn't. The one who professed caring for the poor was Judas Iscariot. Okay, and so the poor ye have always. Now, evidently, Nebuchadnezzar was a good boy for a year. So evidently, he heeded the warning. He was doing righteousness under the Old Testament covenant. Verse 28, all this came upon Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, so he was good for a year. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and by the honor of my majesty? The answer is no. But he thought yes. And when he said that, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from me. And his head rolled back, and his eyes rolled back on his head, and he became a foaming at the mouth, rabid nutcase. I mean, he was run all over the kingdom just like a nutcase. You know, if they would have had a mental house at the time, a mental ward, they would have threw him in it. They would have drugged him up. Okay, but what they did to him is they drave him from his kingly office, from the palace. Verse 32, they drave thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. So I lived out in the woods. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, seven times to pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. The same hour was a thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. So he's out there, never taking a bath or a shower, stinks to high heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. That second half was a blessing because he had to scratch through all that hair. So we have Cousin It. Was that on Adam's Family, Cousin It? Was that the long-haired guy, the dude that walked around hair everywhere? Okay, so you ever see some people like this on the streets? Yeah, there was a guy down in, like a Rastafarian. He complained about a headache, you know, went to this doctor, complained about this headache. And finally, somebody looked in his hair, and he found worms that was eating in his head. Okay, and so, I mean, just nuts. You know, you ever see them people with them dreadlocks, and then that, oh man, that just looks disgusting. You're waiting for a monster to come out of that stuff. Okay, but they're nutty. They're goofy. They've lost it on top. Now, cleanliness is not the next to godliness, but at least godliness people are going to try to take a bath and try to stay clean and keep, you know, themselves up. So this is a guy is a bona fide nutcase. Can you imagine if they're going to tour the palace and they say, hey, we're going to show you to the king. And then they go to the back quarter and they say, Nebi, hey, Nebi. And he comes up, you know, all fours. There's your king. You know, but that is God judging a man for his pride. You know, it says James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift thee up. It is much better to humble yourself than to eat God's humble pie. When you humble yourself, you can enjoy the pie fork by fork, spoon by spoon, one bite at a time. But when you eat humble pie, God takes the pie and rams it in your face. And it's all over you. And that's why he says that he that walks in pride, he shall abase. Okay, and that's the conclusion Nebuchadnezzar is going to say at the end. Now, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. He figured out what happened. And he looked at himself and said, whoa, wee. And he smelled himself, whoo, wee. And notice when he got his understanding, he says, and I bless the Most High. Instead of getting mad at God for what he did, he blessed him for what he did. You know, it's a blessing that when God interferes in our lives when we're doing wrong, that's a blessing from God. All God has to do to mess us up is just leave us alone. That's all he's got to do. Just leave us alone. Let us go according to our dictates and our means. When God interferes with our life, when we're doing wrong, that is a merciful thing that God has done. So Nebuchadnezzar says, I bless the Most High, and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Yep, that's right. Oh, so much for self-esteem. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. That army is going to be described in more detail in Daniel 10. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You know, there's times that I've gotten put out with God. You know, all of us have to admit that. You've gotten put out with God about some things. And why aren't you doing such and such things? And usually when I do that, I'll catch myself and say, hey, ding-a-ling. You're upset with a God who spoke this world into existence. And that God can speak you out of existence if it wasn't for his word that he does limit himself to. And I think you just better recognize that he knows more than you do. Okay, but still, we're going to get like that. Okay, what doest thou? Verse 36, and at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. And that is all by God's grace. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And he would have said at that point, that was me. That was me. And so when a person is able to give a testimony about God humbling them and extol God for it, that's a lesson for all to learn. And this is an attitude when you see at the first three verses and then the last 35, 36, 37, 34, plus the last four verses. That's the attitude of a man who's accepted God's judgment. and recognized God's mercy and bragged about the God for his wisdom. And he learned his lesson. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Okay, we'll stop there. Chapter 4.